Fear of creating a pocket version of me. So people normally, like I mentioned in the previous presentation, people normally pay us to represent them and do complete due diligence on their behalf, which is a few thousand bucks, or they hire me individually as a consultant, which is a few hundred bucks, to help them do that. But scheduling wise and price wise, that can be pretty expensive, and a lot of people are not in the market to purchase just yet, but they're just testing the waters, right? So they want to look at a property investment listing, figure out what the difference is between it, between that one and other listings, figure out what's the right investment for them, and they may not be ready to pull the trigger or, you know, pay large amounts of money for that kind of advice just yet, but they do want to start sampling things. So we put together, or rather Bob put together, but I helped train an AI system. It doesn't do everything that Charles' system over there does. So Charles has a lot more portfolio-related, top-level macro view information, zoning, disaster area map, stuff that we're not doing. What our system does is simply receives, at the moment, a tenanted, long-term lease tenanted investment property listings. The best two websites that we normally use for that are Rakumachi or Kenbia, but there are a bunch of these listings also available on the more general property websites like Sumo and At Homes and so forth. And we are hoping to also have at least one or two English listing websites that we'll be including in a not so distant, I hope, future release of the system. So you won't have to go to Japanese property listings and have them translated. But it does have to be a long-term lease tenanted investment property. So if it's owner-occupied or if it's vacant, the system can't analyze it yet. In the little bit more distant future, we hope to also provide that same level of service, whereas instead of going off the rental amount that's in the Japanese listing, the system will do rent analysis research and let you know what you could potentially be charging at this property if you rent it out. But at the moment, the system has to analyze tenanted property listings. And it has, there's a bunch of other information that when you log into the system for the first time, it'll tell you that it needs to have. But generally speaking, it needs to be a tenanted investment property listing. So the way they normally look on Japanese websites is something like this. I'll translate it to English for convenience. So this one is 9.4 million yen. The surface yield, which is a bit of a misleading Japanese term for gross yield. Sometimes they call it net yield. In any case, it's not real net yield. So whatever percentage you see on these websites, it doesn't take into account purchase costs. It doesn't take into account property management costs. Definitely doesn't take into account insurance costs. So take anything you see on Japanese property listings with a grain of salt. Supposedly, estimated annual income is 684,000 yen or 57,000 yen per month. It's in Nakanoko, Tokyo, so really good location. A one-bedroom unit built 33 years ago. What you would be doing normally is you would be simply copying and pasting this link into our property analyzer. It will take normally somewhere between 10 to 30 minutes to analyze a listing for you, and then it will spit out a very thorough report. So we'll just briefly look at four different examples of four different property types, and it'll hopefully highlight for you what we are trying to analyze here, which are things that are not always evident at first sight. So there's a bit of an executive summary here, but I'll skip that so I don't spoil the surprises, and I'll slowly scroll down to show you, first of all, what the listing actually says. So everything we've just mentioned. It will tell you how much it will actually cost to purchase, including purchase costs, and what the listed yield is, but then it will start breaking it down further. So firstly, we give you an investment score. So scale of 1 to 10, should you consider purchasing this property? Should you avoid it at all costs, or if this is a highly recommended investment property? And then we'll tell you what that is based on. So for instance, the net monthly cash flow is not 57,000 yen. Once you've calculated the rent management fee, the property manager fee, and the building fees which are listed in the Japanese listing, but they're not actually calculated. You're not actually seeing a net price. You're seeing the gross yield and under that stuff that you should be deducting from it. The real net pre-tax rental yield is actually 4.3% when you take purchase costs and those monthly costs and the property management cost into account. Net weekly, net annual, net monthly. And then we start breaking down the risks. So let me scroll down a little bit. Slightly older property, so about 33 years old. Anyone who's been listening to the Japan Real Estate Podcast or any of the other stuff that we regularly put out knows that we like to purchase, if it's a condo unit, we like to purchase them 30 years and younger on purchase so that we can start considering offloading them before they hit 40 years of age, because that's when condominium buildings start to accumulate higher and higher maintenance and repair costs. And that's where investors that are buying them from you, who are also thinking about these exact same things, will expect to see a lower price because their yield is shrinking as the building hits about 40 years of age. So medium risk there, it's just over 30 years old, 33. But that does give you only about 4 to 5 years to hold it before you'll need to start considering potentially reselling it if you want to maintain the price as close as possible to what you purchased it for and maintain the yield. It tells you that these fees are going to be going up in the near future. It tells you that this is a first floor studio unit. And if you look at the photo, actually go back to the listing, it looks lovely, but you will notice that the first floor is actually balcony accessible, or at least viewable from the street, right? For single females in Japan, this is a major no-no. So this is obviously a singles apartment, it's a studio, so there's only going to be a single person living there, and you've immediately lost 50% of your tenant base because it's a first floor, street view accessible kind of unit. It will also tell you some general market concerns, which are not really related. It will tell you that the net yield is much lower than the 7.3 that you're seeing on the Japanese property listing. So if you happen to miss that 4.3%, which is the real net yield, still 4.3% is not bad for Tokyo properties, considering the age of the property, considering that it's a first floor unit, factoring that into the account, it gave us an investment score of about 6.1. It also tells us the part of the supplemental location data appears inconsistent with the listing, meaning the map pin that it's actually put on Google Maps to check whether that property is exactly in that location doesn't exactly sit right with what the listing claims to be distance to station or convenience store or supermarket, all of those features that the agents like to put in the listing. So it's recommending that you confirm that before going ahead with this purchase. And then it also gives you a list of actionable recommendations. So typical due diligence that we'll want to see on any kind of condo unit in any building: ask for the management association's long-term repair plan, any notice of upcoming major works, view the current lease terms, figure out if the tenant is actually of good profile, if they've have any, it just runs you through the steps of due diligence to help you know what to ask and help you know what documents you want to review. Confirm the exact street exposure. In this case, it's easy. We can see from the photos that the balcony is actually easily viewable from the street. But in some cases, it's going to be a walled-off building with a lock where you can't actually see anything from the street. So that might be better, but confirm how exactly exposed it is. And then figure out, because of the age of the building, assume that you're not going to see any appreciation. Assume also that you're potentially going to be losing some of your purchase price when you resell it, depending on exactly when you're going to be resell it. So figure out what exit pricing you'd be happy with and how long of a rental income do you expect to get for it before you resell, and whether you're still going to be in the green, close to it, or in the red when you resell if you happen to lose 15-20% and you haven't gained that much in rental income over that period of time, then that's obviously not the best investment for you, but everybody is different. And then what do we want to double check? What we mentioned again, the station reference with the exact actual address on Google Maps doesn't exactly coincide with the distance to station mentioned in the listing. So if it says 10-15 minutes, if it says 2-3-4 minutes, Mistakes can and do happen, and agents sometimes slightly exaggerate in favor of making the listing look a little bit more attractive, so you want to confirm that kind of information. And of course, figure out the long-term repair plan, how much you get collected in reserve funds, typical due diligence for a condo unit. I'll just quickly show you a few other samples. So this one is a house in Okayama. The original listing is here. This one is 12.8 million yen, supposedly gross yield or net yield, anyway, not real net yield of 9.37, estimated annual income of about 100,000 yen per month, and built only 24 years ago. So we kind of like this property, but when we dig into it, I kind of cheated now because I translated it to English, but if you're looking at the original Japanese listing, if you're not a kanji reader, it could be a little bit hard to miss the fact that this is actually a leasehold property, right? So this one in particular, detached rental house, let's look at the executive summary. This time, detached rental house in Okayama, built November 2002, offered at such a price. Cash flow looks acceptable on paper, but it is a building-only fixed-term leasehold asset, and the lease ends in February 2053. So resale liquidity is probably weak. 23 years, the structure may or may not be in good shape, but in any case, if the lease is not renewed, and that would depend on what type of leasehold it is and whether the landowner actually wants to renew it or not, if they do have the choice not to. But if for any reason the lease is not renewed, you'll then be responsible for demolition and removal costs of the structure. So it might fit with your investment plan, it might not. Make sure that it does before you pull the trigger on anything like that. This one was not recommended at all. Avoid, because Japanese structures usually lose value as they age. And this one is leasehold, so you're not standing to gain any value related to the land whatsoever, right? So you're only purchasing it based on the rental income that it gives you, which is in reality 7.5%, which is not bad for a house. But again, leasehold ending in 2053, you're not facing, definitely not facing any appreciation. Okayama, if you're lucky, you might, the value of the land might compensate for the fact that you're not getting, the value of the house and the rental income might compensate for the fact that you're not actually keeping the land. But in the vast majority of cases, it's going to be harder to resell. Leasehold properties are also not going to be able, not going to be qualified for a loan. So you're limited to cash buyers only who are interested in purchasing a leasehold property that may or may not be renewed with a house that they may or may not want to keep. Obviously a much weaker resale market. The age of the property is 24 years old, so not too bad yet, but it is reaching the age where your typical Japanese wooden structure home would start needing a lot more renovations and repairs on a more regular basis. Something to take into consideration as well, but mainly the fact that it's a leasehold is a big issue for us. Go to another one. $8.1 million, 7.08 yield, 48,000 yen per month, built 1996, so 30 years ago, kind of borderline, but probably acceptable enough. What does the analyzer tell us? That it's giving it a 5.8, risk level high. Reasons for that are... firstly, that it's a studio unit and that it is in a building that does not state whether there is an elevator. So the property is on the fourth floor of a five-floor unit. Again, you're losing anybody who can't climb up three flights of stairs. Japan being Japan, you've got a lot of elderly tenants. Obviously, that's going to be an issue for them. Single moms with a baby on their shoulders and three shopping bags as well are not going to rent anything that's up three flights of stairs. something that you want to consider. The unit is also under a sublease contract. So whatever income you're getting from it today may or may not be realistic once that sublease expires and you need to start dealing with tenants directly. We have had many cases, especially during COVID times, where sublease companies suddenly went bankrupt because they have to keep paying you the rent, whether they're leasing the property or not, and suddenly they disappear. If you're renting a property to a commercial entity as opposed to an individual, it's a lot easier for them to just declare bankruptcy and disappear, whereas an individual can still be pursued for any debts owed, a lot easier than a company that's been dissolved. So that's an added risk. And this is, again, sitting at the age where the building will start needing more regular renovations and repairs soon. Still borderline, so we place that one as a medium risk. But concerned, our main concern is that the elevator status is not disclosed. Monthly building fee plus into reduce the rental income sharply to 4.1 is the actual net rental yield, right? So 3% off what the listing price actually suggests, considering the added risk of the building not having an elevator and your tenant base being severely limited. We were probably not recommending this property, or at least not recommending it with flying colors. And lastly, give you one more example. So this is a small building, Yao City, I think Osaka Prefecture from memory, is Yao City? Yep, 43.7 million yen, so really cheap building, generating what seems to be 6% on paper. And in the case of buildings where there are no monthly owner union costs and so forth, it could actually be pretty close to reality. Seemingly a good property. And this one also came under consider. So not exactly recommended, but not a horrible case as far as our system is concerned. The real net rental yield is actually 4.7% once you take all purchase costs and the reserve funds that you want to put aside into consideration. And the risk factors in this case are that it is built in 1998. So 1998 puts it at 28 years of age. The distance to the station is 11 minutes, not a huge deal, but it's over the golden 10-minute walk to a station that many tenants are looking for. And while they might consider anything that's longer, when they actually search for properties to rent, they'll often put in 10 minutes or less as a criteria. So your listing is not even going to come up in many cases when you're listing it for rental. But more importantly, Yao City is in slight population decline. Right. So even though it's within Osaka Prefecture, it doesn't exactly enjoy the same sort of fundamentals that Osaka City does. It's not too far from Osaka City, and we only have data up to 2020 so far. We haven't seen the population census for 2025 yet, so things might have turned around, but in Japan that's not a very common thing. Usually cities that are declining in population will continue to remain stagnant or decline. So we're not really thrilled with the potential tenant base for this one as well. And listing's own area yield chart suggests nearby whole building assets generally trade at a higher yield. So it could be interesting if you maybe manage to negotiate the price down a little bit and increase your yield a little bit. But as it stands at 4.7% in Yao City specifically, sure, consider it, but we've seen better deals out there, is what the system is basically telling us. So that's it. This wasn't meant to be like a real long anything, but if you've got any questions, feel free to ask them. I'm sure Bob will be the one to answer most of them. But hang on. Can I get the mic? Cheers. Do you have anything on the street?
No.
Thanks for the presentation and wonderful tool. It's not really on the platform itself, but it's more the rental yield. You were saying this is not bad for Tokyo, for example. I'm sorry if it is already known, but what would be a good rental yield for Tokyo? And are there any other cities that actually are looking more promising in terms of this percentage?
Yeah, so generally speaking, Tokyo is probably the worst yield kind of area that we see in Japan. I know a lot of people here swear by Tokyo. It's definitely the biggest city in Japan and the tenant base here is huge. But if we see a good deal in Tokyo that we would consider buying, it normally would be 4% at best. So 4 point something is very good for Tokyo. Major cities that we'd normally be investing in or recommending to our clients would be the top seven, with the caveat that up in Hokkaido you want to factor for slightly higher yield, because winter does have a bearing on your maintenance costs and vacancy expenses. And Nagoya City is also another big city that we want higher yields in, because the tenants there tend to be more blue collar, it's more industrial, so we do have occasional mid-lease terminations and late payments and so forth. But other cities aside from Tokyo, other major cities aside from Tokyo and central Osaka would normally trade it up to 5-6% net before tax. Tokyo is usually up to 4 at best, usually less than that.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Any questions? Any hands? Yes.
I'm just wondering if there's any cost associated with this tool right now, or is it a free tool?
You get one free analysis to check it out if you want, and then the pricing is. I need to log out to see them. You price it. There we go. Up to 10 analysis per month for $30, 50 analysis for $100, or if you're really doing the analysis work, 300 per month for $300. So it's basically $3 per analysis, or $2 or $1 per analysis with those plans. At the moment, anyone who's been at the summit can fill in the summit survey and get 1 month free use.
Thank you.
Thank you. What other cities would you actually be considering other than, say, Nagoya, for example, or Osaka?
I do like Nagoya and I do like Sapporo as well. But the top seven cities, I just like to see higher yields there to compensate for the potential loss of yield. But other major metropolitan centers that we normally are active in are Fukuoka City, Kyoto, if we can see a deal out of there. There's not that many of them that are not short-term stay hospitality properties, but if we do see a long-term property out of Kyoto, we'll grab it. A Kobe City, even though it's declining or stagnant in population, if it's central to Kobe, it's still very attractive. Central or semi-central Yokohama, Saitama City, Chiba City to a degree, again, as close as I can get to central. Kumamoto City, we see quite a few good deals in. There's a bunch of them. I mean, the first thing we'd look is the population graph, see if the population is increasing, stagnant, or declining. And then we'd look at stuff like distance to station, if it's a condo unit, due diligence on the building, all of the stuff that we planned for. But location-wise, it depends on, I guess, what the rest of your portfolio looks like, right? So if most of your existing portfolio, whether it's in Japan or overseas, is more safe and stable and low yield, then you might want to be a bit more adventurous with potentially higher yield in smaller cities, as long as they're, again, population stable. And if most of your portfolio is speculative, then you might want to go for something with better cash flow. It really depends on each investor on what their rest of the portfolio looks like and what their goals and risk appetite is. So that's the conversations we have before we start recommending properties.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yep.
So thank you. It looks like a pretty cool tool. This is very useful for people looking to analyze properties to acquire. Yep. Does it have any functionality that might help somebody decide if it's the right time to sell, or somebody who is already owning a property? Can you use it to analyze figuring out what a sales price would be, or just that divestment related functionality?
Not if you don't have a Japanese property listing that's already active, but if you have advertised your property for sale and your agent gave you a link to an actual listing that the system can analyze, then yes, it'll tell you from an investor's perspective whether somebody would consider buying it or not in exactly the same way. Yeah, but that's something interesting that we can maybe look at. Yeah. Anybody else?
Oh, yeah, we got one from the chat. They said, is this offer also for the online viewers? I assume for the...
Yes, if they fill in the pre-survey that was sent to everybody via email before the event, in their email inbox, they should have a pre-survey that I think Tracy sent to everybody who purchased the ticket. If they fill that in, then all of the emails of people who fill in the pre-event survey will get that offer, yes.
Okay.
Right, thank you.